early 60s.
Right, and you played all your games in Carver. Was it the Legion Field? Is that the name of it? No?
Mm-mm.
Well, we'll find out.
I don't know the name of it, but as far as I know, the early 60s, we always played our games at Carver, at the field in Carver behind. Now it's the cleaners there now.
Near the fire station?
Right behind the fire station. That's apartments, then a cleaners. Right there where the apartments and cleaners, that's there used to be the field.
Mm-hmm.
And wooden white fence, ticket box, we go in there and play all our games.
Now, were the crowds, were there a lot of people there?
Oh, yes. It was even blacks and whites. Because a couple of white people that I know used to go all the time, they did now. One guy was called Cat Baby. You ever hear of Cat Baby?
No.
Well, Cat Baby used to be, he's from Carver, but he everywhere Lincoln went, he was there. And there was another white guy. But it was always McFarlane's, they were always there. And stuff, people like that, you know, they were all at the games.
What drew them to the games? What kind of teams did they have?
Oh, we had great teams. We were unbeatable. Love it. We was unbeatable. We had great teams.
Did the team have any rituals that you remember?
Well, all I can say was great.
Uh-huh.
And see, I was a cheerleader, but I really didn't know that much about football. All I knew was a touchdown and a field goal. That's all I needed to know. So,
at homecoming, the band would march.
Yeah, we marched.
From the school or from...
that was during the day. During the day, on homecoming, we would march that day. And we would march, every game we had, we marched on the field anyway.
You march on the field
at night.
Uh-huh,
at halftime.
But at homecoming, you'd march from the school to
the field.
We have
a homecoming parade.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And at Christmas from?
From
the planetarium
to Carver,
uh-huh.
To a town hall in Carver.
And would people follow you along?
Oh, follow, throw money. And just have great fun.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Would little girls follow you?
Oh, yeah, hollering and just cheering, Shirley, throw them up. And I was just throwing my legs high as I could throw them.
Uh-huh.
So they enjoyed that. So I enjoyed giving it to them.
Sounds like you did. Sounds like you had a great time.
I did.
That's great.
I did. And every year my father would have, it's on the tape too, when we had our parade, even Christmas parade for the town, my father bought a new Buick every year. And he would put his car in the parade. And it's on the thing down here.
You have it on the
mm-hmm.
tape.
Blue Buick with the wide back, uh-huh. Like Batman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, every year he'd get a new car.
Was that unusual in the black community to see a new car every year?
Well, I mean, every 4 years.
Every four years.
Yeah, they didn't get a new car. I don't know, because people around here didn't talk that much about what other people had, you know. And I guess it's because everybody knew everybody, and everybody knew everybody worked and got what they wanted. And also, my father's best friend owned the beer company, so he didn't have any problem. It used to be right there where... Carolina Wash, Car Wash.
Uh-huh.
There used to be a beer car lot.
Was that owned by black?
No, it was owned by white man.
But he was your father's best friend.
Uh-huh, one of my father's best friends. Mm-hmm. They were good friends. And he always, they didn't have a problem getting a car. So every 4 years he'd trade his beer can and get a new beer. Convertible.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Always convertible.
Did you get to drive it?
Oh, yeah. I learned how to drive on it. Yeah. I started driving when I was 16.
Well, let's go back to the band.
Mm-hmm.
How big was the band?
Oh, we had a big band. As far as I'm concerned, we had a big band. I think it was over. It had to be over about 200 people. I believe about 200.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was
huge.
About, yeah, we had a big band. Because everybody wanted to join the band because, see, we not only was there for the homecoming and stuff like that, because once we wasn't performing like homecoming or Christmas parade, we would always practice for to go to concerts. participate in different concerts in the state, mm-hmm. music state concert, and we would practice for that. And we won a lot of them. We won 2 or 3 or 4.
So it's competitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we traveled to Henderson, North Carolina for competition. We went to Roxburgh, different places. Washington, D.C. We went to Washington, D.C.
Did you go to any of the bowl games?
No.
But what did you do in Washington?
We played a music competition uh-huh. with the band. It was in a music competition in Washington, D.C.
And did you get to play then? Were you?
Oh, yeah, I was. Yeah, I played the saxophone.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's why our instructor, you know, he was one of the types, like, you can come into the band, but he recommended that you at least learn one instrument. If you was a majorette or fraternity, you had to learn one instrument to play. Mm-hmm. So I chose saxophone because my father had a saxophone. And I played the saxophone.
Did you get to play his sax? Or
my father?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I used when I had music.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And you use that at the band when you play uh-huh. with the band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about other musicians there who didn't have an instrument or couldn't afford to buy one? How did they get their instrument?
We would. I remember a few times we had like fundraising for people that didn't have money to buy the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
We had fundraising and. Mr. Eshers would take the money and buy the instrument that they needed. Let me know.
Can you remember what the classrooms were like and whether the hallways, what they were like, whether they were noisy or very orderly? Did you have patrols, safety patrols, anything like that?
No, we didn't have safety patrols because, like I said, you know, if our teachers told us to go up the hall and not talk, we couldn't talk. And if you did, she'd come and pull you by your ear and take you, put you in the back of the line. And either pull you to the side and talk to you and let you know that you're not supposed to do this. But I'm trying to think, was it Northside or Lincoln? We had some patrol. I think it was Northside, though. Mm-hmm.
You had a safety patrol
on yeah,
the side.
Yeah, yeah.
With it walking on one
yeah,
side. The
yeah, and the person would follow you to the front step, mm-hmm. but I don't think we had that in Lincoln. I don't remember it being in Lincoln. Yeah, they may have had it, but I don't remember.
You mentioned a dress code in Lincoln that you couldn't wear jeans. Were there other
girls weren't allowed to wear jeans?
Mm-hmm. Were there other things that you couldn't wear? Or
short dresses.
No short dresses.
No short dresses.
No jeans. You have to have your shirt tucked in.
Yes, shirt tucked in.
What about a hat? Could you wear a hat to school?
You could wear it to school, but you couldn't wear it inside the school. You weren't allowed.
So we were talking about a dress code.
Uh-huh.
Shirt tails in, shirt tails out.
Yep.
You had to have them in or out?
In.
In.
They had to be in, for us, I remember. The boys had to wear the shirt tails in.
What about makeup? Could you wear makeup to school?
Well, I never heard any other teachers or Mr. McDougall speak too much about makeup. And maybe because I didn't wear makeup, you know. When I was in high school, I didn't wear makeup. And my home ec teacher, we never discussed about girls wearing too much makeup or whatever, you know. And the ones that wore makeup, I mean, that was their choice. But I never heard anybody, you know, really discuss about too much makeup. And then if it was, like I know one time, we had an incident. Our basketball teacher taught math. And we had one girl that had on too much lipstick, and she would, you know, like say, you got on too much lipstick today, and never did. For us, that, no. I didn't have that problem. I wasn't around that problem too much.
Was there a code of how you could keep your hair?
No. Not to my knowledge.
How about smoking? Schoolyard.
No, smoking wasn't allowed.
And drinking? Did you ever see
no,
any
no drinking, no smoking allowed on camp, on school grounds.
Did you have a favorite gathering place before school began?
Oh, yeah, we all would either at Lincoln, we would always meet, most of us would be out in the front on that sidebar. It used to be a side, I don't think it's still there, isn't it?
I think so.
We would be out there on the sidebar, or even some would be on the opposite side, on the side of the school, or in the field, on the field.
Now, some people had mentioned to me a place called Kelly's.
Kelly's?
Yeah, soda shop.
Oh, Miss Kelly, yeah. On the corner of Mittler Road, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Mr. George Bynum, he had a store. You go through the pass of back of Lincoln, and his school was on the corner right there.
Mr. Bynum.
George Bynum.
George Bynum. Mm-hmm. Was that a gathering place
also?
Yeah.
Every day somebody from Lincoln would be at Mr. Bynum's in the morning, or sneak to Mr. Bynum before school had given out to buy a soda or pill.
Soda or
now,
pickle.
I'm not talking about Mr. Susie Weaver Bynum. I'm talking about Mr. George Bynum. His store was down in the woods on James Street behind Lincoln. But we could go through the woods and get to his store. And I had one teacher used to send us to the store every morning. Her name was Belcher. Every morning she'd pick a student, or she asked who want to go to the store for and get her soda every morning.
So you ran an errand for her so she could have a soda?
Everybody did. Everybody. Uh-huh. Anybody wanted to go to the store. Uh-huh. Sometimes we begged, Miss Belcher, can we go to the store for you today? But see, the principal wasn't supposed to know that. But we went to the store for her every day.
Now, how about after school? Did the students have a gathering place after school?
Well, after school, like I said, the only place that I remember gathering was either at Nick's on Graham Street, which he ran a grill, hamburger grill joint, and High Grade Center, which was called Community Center. And that's where 90% of the people went from 4 o'clock until 6.
Was that Safe Haven?
Oh, yeah. That ball over there. It was good.
What would you do there?
We played shuffleboard. Played Old Maids. Ain't nothing about spades then. We played Old Maids. Any type of game. Do puzzles. Watch TV. Play pool. Piano. She even, Miss Caldwell, Lucille Caldwell, she was one of our leaders at that time. She even had people to teach piano lessons, just those who wanted to take it. And
at the Hargrave Center, at the Community Center.
Community Center. Then they renamed the Hargraves. But we always had something to do. Play basketball, baseball was one of our favorites. I was on the baseball team too.
Did you play baseball in the grades?
Yeah, we had a team.
After school?
Yeah, during the weekends, we played on the weekends.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that you remember about being a cheerleader or a drum majorette?
My most experience is when we used to do a lot of trap. We do a lot of traveling, and we went to different schools and performed, you know, and we were invited to different schools to be in the Christmas parade or the homecoming parade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we were so good. You know, the whole band was just excellent. And that was mostly it. And I was just triple pink because when I was growing up, my cousin was a majorette. Two of my cousins was a majorette. And it's just something I always wanted to do. And so, like, once I became a baton twirler and I realized, you know, you could move up, I just thought that was the greatest thing because I just felt like I was, you know, was big enough to move up better. I had gotten better, you know.
Was it competitive to become a drum majorette?
No.
So anybody who really wanted to do it could get in there?
Yeah, you could get in, but you really had to put it in your heart that you wanted to be one, because the majorettes also had to learn how to twiddle the tongue. It wasn't just all about stepping. He was the type of band leader that you had to have skills both ways.
Who led the band when you were marching? Was it the band director who led it, or did you have someone else lead it, one of the students?
We had both. We had a drum majorette, which was Jimmy Lowell. I don't know his last name. He's a kid to the ballads. Jimmy Lowell was a drum majorette. We had two or three. So Doug Clark was one. I wasn't in the band when Doug was one. Doug Clark. Mm-hmm. But he was one of the drum majorettes right before I got into the seventh grade.
So you could have either a student leading the band?
It was always a student.
It wasn't the leader, it wasn't the teacher from the class.
No,
the band class.
It was always a student, a male, and then a female behind that male, and then the band leader was always on the side.
So he marched along with you, but
yep,
on the side?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when did you do your practicing?
We practiced at the field at Lincoln.
What time?
Well, it all depends on what was going on as far as the activities for the football team or the basketball team.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time we would practice in the evenings. Or if we had to perform somewhere, we would practice at lunchtime. He would call a practice at lunchtime, but he would let us know a day ahead of time.
That
we were going to practice at lunchtime or either in between sometime before the afternoon.
You ever get up early in the morning and practice before school?
Not to my knowledge. Not unless we were going out of town. There was something special he wanted us to make sure we knew how to do. But to my recollection, I can't remember practice early in the morning unless it was on a Saturday.
So you did your practicing mostly after school and at lunchtime?
Yeah, if we were going to perform, you know, a specific place, and he wanted to make sure that we were, you know, had it packed down and the music right, we would practice at 12 o'clock. We would call a practice at 12.
So did you have your sandwich with you, or did you go hungry?
No, we didn't go hungry, but like I said, he would always tell us in advance. Some people bought their lunch, but I always ate in the lunchroom because I worked in the lunchroom.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So you'd have a quick lunch and then head off to the band room?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To practice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have assembly programs?
Oh, yeah, we had all kinds of programs.
How often did the school meet in the auditorium?
I think we met in the auditorium. Was it every day or once a week at least?
And when you would meet in the auditorium, was there usually some kind of performance?
It would be all different performance, art and craft, different things that went on in school, Black History Week.
Was it usually the students who were showing something to the other students, or
yeah,
was it the teachers who were showing something?
It was students putting on a performance.
Uh-huh. Did you feel as though, looking back or at the time, did you feel as though the school was performance-oriented, that there was a lot that the students were showing to each other all the time, this thing? Once a week you had assembly and something going on with students, showing students art or music or singing?
Yeah. It was always something going on at Lincoln. And like I say, you know, as coming up, and the way you saying it, I didn't look at it that way, but I knew that being at Lincoln, I always had something that I could be involved in. And there was always something that was offered to me that I had a choice to be in or not. And as being able to you know, to be c- close to that school and knowing that whatever I signed up for, that I could get there. So whatever went on that was offered for the students, I just took a part in. Mm-hmm. And there was always something, always.
Did the band give you a feeling of, I'm not sure the word I want to use, make you feel like you were somebody if you were in the band?
No, not really.
You already felt like you were somebody?
Because I was popular anyway.
So you didn't need the band to make you feel like somebody?
No. I didn't need the band because, like I said, you know, I was good in basketball. I mean, I joined the basketball team when I was in the ninth grade. I became very good in guard, and I played every game.
So you were a starter from ninth grade?
From the ninth grade.
3 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was starter from ninth grade. And I give a lot of that to my coach because, you know, she always pushed us to be our best and never give up till the buzzer go off. And, you know, I was just also big with my mouth. You know, a lot of people always said I was mean, but I wasn't mean, but I was just the type that if I said boo, you know, some people would jump. I don't know why, but...
You weren't very inhibited, huh?
Yeah, but no, the band, you know, I didn't feel that way with the band. I just felt that was something I liked to do, and I liked performing. I like dancing. I always have loved dance. And so, you know, basketball, tennis wasn't presented to us, you know, and that wasn't an interest to me. So, you know, like dance, basketball. I always wanted to do ballet. But back then, you know, ballet wasn't introduced to blacks. If you got it, you got it on the side from somebody, you know, like I said, your mama worked for somebody and they might put you in ballet or something like that. That's the only way you got there or knew about that. But I always wanted to be a ballet dancer, but I never did. But I was a good dancer, so I just did what I had to do with my legs. So, you know, that was the way that was.
You did it on the basketball court.
Basketball court, streets, marching, anything else, you know. And I just had a great growing up childhood in Chapel Hill. I'm born and raised in Chapel Hill. And that's just the way I feel, you know. And Lincoln was a great school because, also, I don't know if anybody mentioned it, it used to be the old saying, blacks weren't allowed to go through Chapel Hill High. And see, where my father worked, it was right behind Chapel Hill High. And I was one of those, you know, I'm going to see for myself. So we all found a little hole in the fence, and we would creep through that night and get scared. That was the fun part. But we never did go through that during the day because we were told we couldn't go through that during the day. But we go through that night. But that was the fun part.
What kind of a basketball team did you have? Were the rules the same for the women as for the men when you were playing?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You played a full court game?
Yeah, full court. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the same. No, you can't have that. Yeah, it was the same. And then 2 years later, they changed, like, the guard could play forward and guard. But for 2 years, you couldn't do that. But the next 2 years, a lot of rules changed, but it didn't stop us.
Did you have a winning record?
Oh, yeah.
Did you win a championship?
We won a bunch of championships.
Shirley, you look like you're getting tired. Do you want to stop here and then we'll continue another day?
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.